And welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Ghost Camp by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. All right, life's somewhat getting back to normal, so I should get these out a little quicker. I'm going to be on a vacation in 10 days. I'm going to be in New Orleans with the girlfriend for my birthday and hanging out with my brother and his fiance and just kind of YOLOing and getting shit ripped. So, keeping it real. That being said, I'm just going to dive right into this. I have no idea what's going on in the plot. I don't know. Two gay little kids went to camp, but the camp's full of assholes that don't feel pain or something. I don't know. Just pounded a steel reserve tall can. Now I'm drinking a Budweiser tall can as of this point. Let's dive right back into this bitch. Chapter number motherfucking 13. Yeah. My stomach lurched. I felt sick. The pointed pole had pierced the top of Sam's foot, nailing his foot to the ground. That was some alliteration. Joey gaped like Belladonna, open-mouthed, his eyes wide with surprise. With a gasp, I searched for Chris. I knew Sam needed help. Where had Chris wandered off to? Sam? I choked out. I'll get help. I'll... But Sam didn't cry out. He didn't react at all. Didn't even grimace. What, he's not a purple dude that likes milkshakes? Am I right? Like grimace from... He calmly reached down with both hands and pulled the pole out of his foot. I let out a groan. My foot ached. In sympathy, I guess. Sam tossed the pole aside. I was tossing the pole earlier, just kidding. That was a beating off joke. I stared down at his foot. No cut, no blood, no coconuts. It wasn't bleeding. Sam, I cried, your foot, it's not bleeding. He turned and shrugged. It missed my toes, he explained. He dropped onto his knees and started propping up the tent. I swallowed hard, waiting for my stomach to stop churning. Missed his toes? I thought. Missed his toes? What kind of bullshit is that? I saw the pole sink right into his motherfucking foot. Or was I seeing things again? That'd be funny if Goosebumps was just a book series about kids dealing with schizophrenia, and none of the shit actually happened. For the rest of the afternoon, I tried not to think about it. I worked on the tent. Once I got it spread out, it was easy to set up. Chris had us fold and unfold them a few times. By the way, here's what went through my mind right there. Huh, Dune, you should make a pitching the tent joke about boners. I don't know, Dune. You recorded this about 2 months ago.
Really, just 1 month.
And I'm sure that the pitching tent came up, and then you made a boner joke then. You're right, let's keep reading. And then I kept recording. But if you go back to the last episode, I'm sure I made a boner joke, right? Once it got spread out, it was easy to set up. Chris had us fold and unfold them a few times. Then we had a race to see who could set up a tent the fastest. I won easily. Sam said it was beginner's luck. Chris said I was definitely ready for the overnight. Where do we go for the overnight? I asked. Deep, deep into the woods, Chris replied. He winked at Sam and Joey. By the way, that's not a line that I added in. He actually winked at the two dudes about going deep, deep. Blood stuff. I felt a chill thinking about Uncle Marv's ghost story. I shook the chill away. No way I was going to let myself get scared by a silly camp story. We had an instructional swim at the waterfront. The lake was... Jesus Christ, what a... That was the sound I just made into a podcast. The reason you'll never see Dune Reads Goosebumps on a podcasting network is not because the content, which I'm pretty sure is legal because it's parody. It's because I do things like vomit a little in my mouth and just trudge on. Addiction. The lake was clear and cold. I'm up to junior lifesaver. Joey and I took turns rescuing each other. Wink! I didn't think about Sam driving the pole through his foot. I force it from my mind. After the swim, I returned to the bunk to get changed for dinner. There were fresh puddles of blue goo on the cabin floor. To be a teenager again. Nobody made a big deal about them. I didn't want to either, so I tried hard not to think about them. Alex came in, very excited. "I'm going to be the first act in the talent show," he announced, and Veronica liked my singing so much, she wants me to star in the camp musical. "Way to go!" I cried. I slapped him a high motherfucking five. Then I asked, "What about Elvis?" "He's going to be in the show too," Alex replied. "He's going to be the stage manager." "He doesn't have natural talent, idiot." I pulled on my white Camp Spirit Moon shorts and t-shirt and headed to the mess hall for dinner. I saw a group of girls coming out of the cabins on the other side. I searched for Lucy, but didn't see her. I spent like half my teenage years searching for a Lucy. I was finally feeling pretty good. Not thinking about the strange things I'd seen. Not thinking about the blue puddles of slime. The mysterious black fog. Not thinking about the ghost story that Elvis said was true. Not thinking about Lucy sticking her hand in the fire and pulling out a flaming hot dog. Not thinking about Joey floating above his bed. Or Sam jamming a thick pole through his foot and not bleeding. Not crying out. So totally calm about it, as if he couldn't feel it, couldn't feel pain. I went to a elementary school with a girl who couldn't feel pain in a like part of her leg, and it wasn't cool for her. You'd think it would be like a rad mutant power, like she could get shot and keep running, but in reality she kept like a thing of like hot takeout food on her leg as a child and didn't realize it and had a horrible scarring all over. So pain is important, not just for goth kids, but for everyone. I was starving, looking forward to dinner, not thinking about any of these puzzling things. Feeling really good. But then Joey ruined my good mood at dinner and forced all the scary thoughts back into my mind. The food had just been served. Chicken in some kind of creamy, skeety sauce. Spinach and lumpy mashed potatoes. I didn't care what it was. I was so fucking hungry, I could eat anything. I could even eat Arby's. But before I had a chance to eat, Joey called out to me from across the table. "Hey, Harry, look." I glanced up from my plate. He picked up his fork and jammed it deep into his neck, like Precious did in season 3 of American Horror Story. Chapter 14, let me read it, fuck you! Oh! I let out a groan. My fork fell from my hand and clattered to the floor. Joey grinned at me. The fork bobbed up and down, like a slutty woman on a first date, stuck in his neck. I felt sick. My heart started to pound. He pulled the fork out with a hard tug. His grin didn't fade. "You try it," he called. "Joey, stop it!" Elvis cried from across the table. "Yeah, give us a break," Sam agreed. I stared at Joey's neck. No cut, no fork marks, no blood, no coconuts. How did you do that?" I finally stammered. Joey's grin grew wider. "It's just a trick," he replied, like that Penn and Teller trick where Teller gets a fork and he also has a creamer thing in his hand and he puts the creamer thing up to his eye and then he jabs the fork into the creamer and he explodes out the cream and it looks like he stabbed his eye and it exploded white, but it didn't because it was just the creamer. Sorry, I just watched that Magic Camp fucking documentary on Netflix last night with, ironically, with Alex and with my girlfriend Connie, and now I'm into magic. That's not true. It made me want to watch old Penn and Teller bits after that because they're enjoyable, but magic is depressing. That whole documentary was enjoyable, but in reality, all the kids that are into magic are like 12-year-old Jewish gay autistic kids. So if you're all those things, magic may be the career path for you, Chris Angel. I glimpsed Alex at the end of the table. Had he seen Joey's trick? Yes. Alex looked green. His mouth had dropped open in horror. Here, I'll show you how to do it, Joey offered. He raised the fork again, but stopped when he saw Uncle Marv leaning over his shoulder.
What's going on, Joey? Uncle Marv demanded sharply.
Joey lowered the fork to the table. Just getting around, he replied, avoiding the camp director's hard stare.
Well, let's eat our dinner, guys, Uncle Marv said sternly.
Howard sternly.
Without kidding around.
His stubby fingers tightened over Joey's shoulders. We have a night soccer game, you know.
Boys against girls.
Yeah, that's fair. That's how the World Cup goes, which, by the way, come on, assholes, you're not really into World Cup. You just want to be into World Cup because it's cool. It's not like magically everyone got into soccer since last time. Yeah? You agree with me, Scarlett? Yeah, Cat just looks pissed. Uncle Marv loosened his grip on Joey's shoulder and moved on to the next table. A food fight had broken out there, and the mashed potatoes were flying! Joey mumbled something under his breath. I couldn't hear him over all the noise. I turned to see how Alex was doing at the end of the table. He had his fork in his hand, but he wasn't eating. He was staring hard at Joey. My brother had a very thoughtful expression on his face. I knew he was wondering the exact same thing I was. What the fuck is going on in this bitch? Joey said the fork stabbing was just a trick. But how did he do it? Why didn't it hurt? Why didn't he bleed?
Night soccer games are cool,
Elvis declared. He was stuffing chicken into his mouth. The cream sauce ran down his chin semen joke. Especially boys against girls, Sam agreed. We'll kill them. They're pitiful. I don't believe girls are pitiful. Hashtag not all men. I glanced at the girls' table across the room. They were chattering noisily, probably about the soccer game. I saw Lucy in the shadows near the wall. She didn't seem to be talking to anyone. She had a solemn expression on her face. Did she keep looking over at me? Was it because of my sweet tent pitching skills? Boner boner? I couldn't really tell. I ate my dinner, but my appetite had disappeared. How did you do that fork thing? I asked Joey. I told you, it's just a trick, he replied. He turned away from me to talk to Sam. Dessert was little squares of red, yellow, and green jello, like the Brazilian flag. It was okay, but it needed some whipped cream. Unfortunately, the cook had used all the whipped cream chargers to do whippets. As I finished my dessert, I heard some squeals from the front of the big room. I turned toward the cries and saw a bat swooping wildly back and forth over the mess hall. Some of the younger kids were screaming, but everyone stayed calm at my table. The bat fluttered noisily, swooping and diving, darting from one end of the hall to the other. Uncle Marv followed it with a broom, and after a minute or two, he gently pinned the bat to the wall with a straw broom head. Then he lifted the bat off the wall, carrying it in one hand. It was so tiny, no bigger than a mouse. He carried it out the door and let it go. Everyone cheered, "Woo! Yeah!" And they all drank Budweiser to make something about cheer. I'm just going to drink. I got a tattoo 2 days ago of Homer Simpson drinking a cocktail on a hammock between two palm trees, and it hurts. That happens all the time, Sam said to me. It's because there aren't any screens on the mess hall doors, and these assholes can't just buy screens from Home Depot for like $4 to cover them because they're fucking idiots. And the woods are full of bats, Joey added. Killer bats that land in your hair and suck the blood right out of your boner. Sam laughed. Yeah, right, he grinned at me. That's what happened to Joey. That's why he acts so weird now. I laughed along with everyone else, but I wonder if Sam was really joking. I mean, Joey did act weird.
Soccer field, everyone! Uncle Marv boomed from the mess hall door. Check with the sports counselors. Alyssa and Mark will set up the teams.
Why do you have to set up the teams? It's broads versus dudes. Poles versus holes, bruh,
That's like shirts and skins. Pulls over here, holes over there. Dudes that wish they had a hole instead of a pole over in the corner. They're the cheerleaders.
Chairs scraped over the stone floor as everyone jumped up. I saw Lucy waving at me, but Sam and Joey pulled me away into a cool, cloudy night. The full moon hidden behind low clouds, the grass already wet with heavy dew. The counselors divided up the teams. Alex and I were on the second team. That meant we didn't play the first period. It's a summer camp and we're all 12-year-olds, so some of the girls are playing on their first period, am I right? Yeah! Our job was to stand on the sidelines and cheer on the boys' team first. Oh, so he's a tranny. Like my previous joke indicated. Two floodlights on tall poles sent down wide triangles of white light over the field. It wasn't really enough light. Long shadows spread over the field. But that was part of the fun. Alex stood close beside me as the game began. The girls' team scored a goal in less than a minute. Wow. Boys are stupid. Girls on the sidelines went wild.
I saw a documentary about girls going wild. And it had nothing to do with soccer and everything to do with hating their stepdads.
The players and the boys' team stood around, scratching their heads and muttering unhappily. "Lucky break! Lucky break!" yelled Mark, a tall, lanky boys' counselor. "Go get 'em, guys!" The game started up again. The light from the floodlights appeared to dim. I raised my eyes to the sky looking for aliens, and saw fog rolling in. Another swirling fog. Mark jogged past us, looking like a big stork.
"Going to be another foggy night,"
he said to Alex and me.
"Night games are more fun in the fog,"
he shouted instructions to the boys' team. The thick fog swept over us quickly, driven by a gusting wind. Alex huddled close to me. I turned and caught his worried expression. Here's a random point where I'm going to be like, "Hey, Nick M. that donated money, are we grabbing drinks or what? Facebook me if we do. We're Facebook friends now. How's that? It's pretty fun, huh? I just post tweets and Instagram pictures. Whatever. But, you know, hit me up if you want to get drunk. I'm always getting drunk." "Did you see what Joey did at dinner?" he asked softly. I nodded. "He said it was a trick." Alex thought about that for a moment. "Harry?" he said, keeping his eyes on the game. "Do you think that some of these kids are a little weird?" "Yeah, a little," I replied. I thought about the tent pole going through Sam's foot and became instantly aroused. "Something happened at that waterfront," Alex continued. "I can't stop thinking about it." I watched the game, squinting into the drifting fog. It was getting hard to see players. Cheers rang out from the girls' side. I guess they had scored another goal or some shit. I don't know. Soccer's boring. Old Dune? That's me. I'm old because I'll be 28 in a week. And I started this when I was 22, maybe? Jesus. But I was playing indoor soccer because it was like the off-season for normal soccer when I was 13. And I was playing goalie for some reason. And I grabbed the ball. And a girl went to kick it and kicked straight into it. Fucking snapped my bones. So the two, like the party arm with two bones, you know? The fibula and tibula. Is that right? I don't think it is. Anyway, imagine you had two V's connecting together on your hands where the bones were. Then put one hand over the other. And then my hand came out of my body instead of going out straight. It went out like a, more than 30 degrees. It was twisted around my whole hand coming out of my body more than 45 degrees. Sorry, more than 90 degrees. What the hell am I talking about? It was coming out. Like, my whole arm made an angle because it was snapped so bad. It was the coolest looking x-ray in the world. Point is, a girl did it, so now I shouldn't talk shit about girls' soccer because the girl broke my sweet little arm. Mwah. I shivered. "What happened?" I asked my brother. "I had free swim after tryouts for the show," he said. "There was my group and a couple of girls' groups. Younger girls, mostly. Wink." The lake is nice, I commented, adding nothing to the conversation. It's so clear and clean and not too cold. Yeah, it's good, I guess. I was making a point here, anyway. Alex agreed. He frowned. But something strange happened. I think it was strange, is where the emphasis should have been. He took a breath. I could see he was really upset. Let's go, guys! Go, go, go! Mark shouted to the team. The glow from the floodlights twisted and bent in the fog, sending strange shadows over the playing field. The fog was so thick now I had trouble telling the players from the shadows. I was floating on top of the water. Alex continued, wrapping his arms around his chest, sort of taking it easy, moving slowly, stroke, stroke, very slow. See, I didn't change any of the words, I just added my own sexual emphasis. It was free swim, so we could do whatever we wanted. Some of the guys were having a back floating race near the shore, but I floated out by myself. The water was so clear, I put my face in the water, I stared down to the bottom, and I saw something down there. He swallowed hard. What was it? What the fuck did you see? I asked. A girl, Alex replied with a shudder. One of the girls from the younger group. I don't know her name. She was short. She has short, curly, black hair like pubes. She was under the water, I demanded. You mean swimming underwater? Nah, brah, Alex shook his head. She wasn't swimming. She wasn't moving. She was way underwater. I mean near the bottom of the lake. Hey, asshole, remember in, the second Lord of the Rings movie? When they're going through that, like, wacky-ass swamp deal? And there's all the dudes that are right under the water that, like, died in some sort of marsh battle and shit? It looked like those fuckers. Also, that movie's gonna come out in, like, 6 years after this book is made. It's gonna be amazing! She dove down, I asked. Alex shrugged. I got so scared, he cried over the shouts of the two teams. She wasn't moving. I didn't think she was breathing. I hope she wasn't breathing underwater. Her arms floated up and down, and her eyes stared out blankly into the water. She done drowned? I cried. That's what I thought, Alex said. I panicked. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't think. I didn't think. I just dove down. You dove down to the bottom to get her? I asked. Yeah, I didn't know if I was too late or if I should get a counselor or what, Alex said, shuddering again. I swam down, I grabbed her arms, then I gripped her under the shoulders, barely grabbed her boob once, but I deserve it for saving her life, potentially. I pulled her up. She floated up easily, like she was weightless or something. I pulled her up to the surface, then I started to drag her to the shore. I was gasping for breath, mostly from panic, I think. My chest felt about like it was about to burst and shit. I was so scared. And then I heard laughing. She laughed at me. I was still holding her under the shoulders. She turned and spit water in my face, like a llama. Oh, wow! I gasped. Wow, Alex. You mean she was okay? Yeah, Alex replied, shaking his head. She was perfectly okay. She was laughing at me. She thought that shit was funny. I just stared at her. I couldn't believe it. I mean, she had been way down at the bottom for a long, long time. Like Guybrush Threepwood. I let go of her. She floated away from me, still laughing. I said, how'd you do that? That's what I asked her. I said, how long can you hold your breath? And that made her laugh even harder. How long? I asked. And she said, a long, long time. And then she swam back to the other girls. What did you do? I asked Alex. I had to get out of the water, he replied. I was shaking all over. I couldn't stop shaking. I thought... His voice trailed off. At least she was okay, I murmured after a while. But do you think that was weird, Harry? And then at dinner, when Joey stuck that fucking fork in his neck. It's weird, Alex, I said softly. But it may just be jokes? Jokes? He asked, his dark eyes staring hard into mine. Kids always play jokes on new campers. I told him, it's a camp tradition. You know, terrify the new kids. It's probably just jokes. That's all. Just like bullying, it used to be a thing that everyone did, but now you can't do any of it because a bunch of kids were crybabies named Caden, Jaden, Hayden. Yeah, that's what. But bullying's rad as hell, and it's funny to pick on the total tardo. He chewed his bottom lip, thinking about it. Even though he was standing so close to me, the swirling black fog made him appear far away. I turned back to the game. The boys were moving across the grass toward the goal, passing the ball, kicking it from player to player. They looked unreal, moving in and out of swirling shadows. Jokes, I thought. All jokes. I squinted into the fog and saw something that couldn't be a joke. A boy kicked the ball to the net. The girl's goalie moved to block the shot. She wasn't fast enough. Or she stumbled. The ball hit her smack in the fucking forehead. It made a sickening thud. The ball bounced onto the ground. And her fucking head bounced beside it.
Chapter number 15.
I gasped and started to run. Through the thick wisps of black fog, the swirling dark mist seemed to float up from the ground and sweep down from the trees. It felt cold and wet on my face as I hurtled toward the girl. Squinting into the heavy darkness, I could see her sprawled on her stomach on the ground and her head. Her head! I bent down and I grabbed it. I don't know what I was thinking. Did I plop it back on her shoulders?
Oh God, if you've seen the video of the Kennedy assassination where his fucking skull and brain gets popped the fuck out and then Jackie O tries to pick it up and kind of put it back on, that's what this is.
In a total panic, trembling with horror, I bent into the swirling mist and picked up the head with both hands. It felt surprisingly hard. Inhumanly hard. I raised it close to my face, and saw that I held a soccer ball. Not a head, not a girl's head. I heard a groan and gazed down to see the girl climb to her knees. She muttered something under her breath and shook her head. What kind of chapter ending was that? You can't just lie about seeing someone's head pop off. God damn it, R.L. Stein. Her head, the head on her shoulders. She stood and frowned at me. I stared at her face, her head. My whole body was still shaking.
Your head?
I choked out. She tossed back her straight blonde hair, brushing dirt off her white shoulders like an Aryan Jay-Z. Then she reached for the ball. Hey, you're not on the first team, I heard a boy call. Get off the field, another boy demanded. I turned and saw that the players had all gathered around.
But I saw her head fall off, I blurted.
I instantly regretted it. I knew I shouldn't have said it.
I was rhyming.
Everyone laughed. They tossed back their judgmental heads and laughed at me. Someone slapped me on the back. Their grinning, laughing faces floated all around me. For a moment, it looked to me as if all of their heads had come off. I was surrounded by laughing heads, bobbing in the eerie, shadowy light from the floodlights. The girl raised her hands to the side of her head and tugged up.
See, Harry?
She cried. By the way, that was totally unnecessary for me to do the thing where I grabbed with my hands, like, up to side down so my thumbs are facing one another and pulled up on my neck, like, as if my head would pop off.
See, Harry? She cried. See? It's still glued on.
Someone better check Harry's head! A boy cried. Everyone laughed some more. A kid came up and grabbed my head and tugged it.
How?
I screamed. More wild laughter. I tossed the goalie the soccer ball. Then I slunk off the field.
What's fucking wrong with me? I wondered. Why am I so fucked up? Why do I fucking keep seeing these things? And why do I love cussing so much? Am I just nervous because I'm at a new camp? Or am I totally losing my shit?
I trudged to the sidelines and kept walking. I didn't know where I was going. I just knew I wanted to get away from the laughing kids, away from the soccer game. The heavy fog had settled over the field. I glanced back. I could hear the players' shouts and cheers, but I could barely see them. I turned and started toward the row of cabins. The dew on the tall grass tickled my legs as I walked. I was halfway to the cabins when I realized I was being followed! I'm gonna drink some more Budweiser and keep it going without making a chapter stop, even though I like stopping at every chapter.
Chapter number 16.
I spun around. A face floated out of the darkness. Alex, I cried. In all the excitement over the soccer ball in the goalie's head, I had forgotten all about him. He stepped close to me, so close I could see beads of sweat on his upper lip. I saw it too, Alex whispered.
Huh?
I gasped. I didn't understand. You saw what? The girl's head, Alex said sharply. He turned back to the soccer field to see if anyone followed him. Followed him, I guess. Then he turned back to me and tugged my t-shirt sleeve. I saw her head fall off, too. I saw it bounce to the ground. I swallowed hard.
You did? Really?
He nodded. I thought I was going to puke. It
was so gross.
But it didn't fall off, I cried. Didn't you see? When I ran onto the field, I picked up the ball, not her head.
But I saw it, Harry, Alex insisted.
At first, I thought it was just the fog, you know, my eyes playing tricks on me like a Ghetto Boys song because of the heavy fog, but it had to be the fog, I replied quietly. That girl, she was perfectly okay.
But if we both saw it, Alex started.
He stopped and sighed. This camp is just... it's so fucking weird.
That's for sure, I agreed.
Alex shoved his hands into the pockets of his shorts. He shook his head unhappily.
Elvis says the ghost stories are true, he said.
I put my hands on Alex's shoulders. I could feel him trembling.
We don't believe in ghosts, remember?
I told him.
Remember?
He nodded slowly. The first howl made us both jump. I turned to the woods.
Another eerie howl rose up from the same spot. Not
an animal howl.
Not an animal cry at all. A long, mournful howl. A human howl. Ow!
God, I'm good at this.
Another deep cry made me gasp. Alex grabbed my arm. His hand felt cold as ice. He's willing to sacrifice.
What is that? He choked out. I opened my mouth to reply, but another mournful howl interrupted.
Hey, Yoda, look at me.
Howl!
I heard two creatures howling. Maybe three. Maybe more. Maybe four. Maybe more. I just added four because it rhymed with more.
The eerie wails floated up from behind the trees until it sounded as if the whole woods were howling.
Inhuman howls. Ghostly howls.
You can't say that they sound human and then right after go inhuman.
Pick one or the other, R.L. Stein.
We're surrounded, Harry,
Alex whispered, still gripping my arm.
Whatever it is, it's got us surrounded.
Chapter 17! Ooh!
The frightening wails rose up from the trees.
Run!
I whispered to Alex, like Gandalf, also from a movie that's going to come out in 6 years.
To the main lodge. Maybe we can find Uncle Marv. Maybe.
Heading into the fog, we started running toward the lodge.
But the howls followed us and grew louder. I heard the heavy thud of footsteps behind us, tromping over the grass.
We can't escape, I realized. Alex and I both turned at the same time and saw Elvis, Sam, and Joey grinning as they ran after us. Sam cupped his hands around his mouth and let out a long, ghostly howl. Ow! Laughing, Elvis and Joey tossed back their heads and howled too.
Ow! Ow! Ah! Ah!
Ow!
You jerks! I screamed, swinging a fist at them. I could feel the blood rushing to my face. I felt ready to explode. I wanted to punch those three clowns and kick them and pound their fucking faces and do that fucking American History X curb stomp and just make them bite the fucking curb and kick the back of their fucking heads until they fucking die.
Gotcha,
Elvis cried.
Gotcha.
He turned to Sam and Joey. Look at them. They're shaking. Oh, wow, they're shaking. Sam and Joey laughed gleefully.
Did you think there were wolves in the woods?
Sam asked.
Or ghosts? Did you think we were ghosts?
Joey demanded.
Shut up,
I replied. Alex didn't say a word. He lowered his eyes to the ground. I could see that he was as embarrassed as I was.
Ow!
Elvis uttered another high-pitched howl. He threw his arms around my brother's waist and wrestled him to the ground sensually.
Get off,
Alex cried angrily. The two of them wrestled around in the wet grass.
Cat, stop fighting behind me.
Did I scare you?
Elvis demanded breathlessly. Admit it, Alex. You thought it was a ghost, right?
Right?
Alex refused to reply. He let out a groan and heaved Elvis off of him. They wrestled some more. Sam and Joey stepped up beside me, grinning, very pleased with themselves.
You guys aren't funny, I grumbled. That was so babyish.
Really? Joey slapped Sam a high five.
Babyish, he cried. If it was so babyish, why'd you fall for it?
I opened my mouth to reply, but only a choking sound came out.
I wish that I was clever enough, or not clever enough, motivated enough to edit in the sound of me half vomiting in my mouth earlier into that. Anyway,
but only a choking sound came out. Why did I fall for it? I asked myself.
Why did I let myself get so scared by three guys standing behind trees and making howling sounds? Normally, I would have laughed at such a dumb joke.
As the five of us walked to the cabin, I thought hard about it. The campers and counselors had all been trying to scare Alex and me since we arrived, I realized. Even Uncle Marv had tried to scare us with his creepy stories. They must have a tradition of trying to scare new campers at Camp Spirit Moon, I decided. And it works. I was scared as shit. Alex and me. It made us tense, jumpy, ready to leap out of our skins at the slightest noise. We stepped into the cabin. I clicked on the light. Elvis, Sam, and Joey were still laughing, still enjoying their stupid, dumb, idiotic, idiot joke. Alex and I have got to get it together, I decided. We've got to shove all the stupid stuff about ghosts out of our heads. We don't believe in ghosts, I told myself. We don't believe in ghosts. We do not believe in ghosts. I repeated that sentence over and over like a chant. Alex and I don't believe in ghosts. We've never believed in ghosts. Never. Never ever. Never ever ever. One night later, after a short hike through the woods, I did believe in ghosts.
Chapter 18!
Alex and I took a lot of teasing the next day. Coming out of the mess hall after breakfast, someone tossed a soccer ball at me and screamed, "My head! Give me back my head!" We had instructional swim in the morning. Joey and Sam and some of the other guys started howling like ghosts.
Ow!
Everyone thought it was a riot. I saw Lucy hanging out on the shore with some girls from her cabin. The other girls were laughing at the ghostly howls. Lucy was the only one who didn't laugh.
He's got a chance.
In fact, she had a solemn expression on her face. A thoughtful expression. Several times I caught her staring at me.
She's probably thinking about what a total baby I am,
I told myself unhappily because I'm young and have no confidence. I'll bet she feels sorry for me because I acted like such a jerk in front of everyone on the soccer field last night. After instructional swim, I dried myself off so I wouldn't get that weird rash near my taint. Then, I wrapped the towel around myself and walked over to Lucy at the boat dock. The other girls had wandered away. Lucy stood in her white shorts and shirt.
and t-shirt. That way I knew she wasn't on her mensie. She had one foot on a plastic canoe, making a bob up and down in the shallow water like some sort of engine lowrider. "Hi," I said. I suddenly realized I didn't know what to say. "Hi," she replied. She didn't smile, her dark eyes locked onto mine. To my surprise, she turned quickly and ran off. "Hey!" I called. I started to run after her, but stopped when my legs got tangled in my towel. "Hey, what's your fucking problem?" She vanished. Stupid text messages. That's from the old Todd Perry of the Far Out podcast. If you don't listen to that, you definitely should. She vanished behind the arts and crafts cabin. She never looked back. I know what her problem is, I told myself sadly. She doesn't want to be seen talking to a total nutcase, to someone who thinks that a girl's head can just roll off, and who thinks there are howling ghosts lurking in the woods. I wrapped the towel around me. Hey, maybe it's because you had your towel unwrapped and you're just showing her dingle, you know? No one wants to see your dingle, bruh. Sam and Joey and some other guys were staring at me from the shore, possibly at said dingle. I could see by the grins on their faces that they had seen Lucy run away from me. Maybe it's your breath, Joey teased. They all fell on the ground, howling. There's a drinking break here, so I gotta, drink. After lunch, we had letter writing time. The counselors made sure we all stayed in our bunks and wrote letters home to our parents. It was a camp rule that we had to write home once a week.
So your parents don't worry about you, Uncle Marv announced at lunch. We want them to know that you're having the best summer of your lives, right? Yo, spirits! Everyone cheered.
I wasn't exactly having the best summer of my life. In fact, so far, this was one of the worst, but I decided not to write that in my letter home. I climbed up to my top bunk and started to think about my letter to Mom and Dad. Please come and get me, I thought I might write. Everyone is weird here. Alex and I are both scared out of our wits. Now, no way, I couldn't write that. They wouldn't come, so I started to write again. They are diddling my pooper hole. Please pick me up. Bring lawyers. Just kidding, that's not what it said. I leaned over the side of the mattress and peered down at my brother. He was sitting on his bunk, crouched over his letter. I could see him scribbling away. What are you writing? I called down. I'm telling them about Camp Spirit Moon talent show, he replied. How I'm going to be the star, and how I'm going to be in the musical next week. Nice, I muttered. I decided I'd tell my parents only good things, too. Why worry them? Why make them think I'm losing it? If Alex is writing about all the isn't writing about the weird shit, I won't either, I decided. I leaned over my sheet of paper and started my letter. Dear Mom and Dad, Camp Spirit Moon is a lot more exciting than I ever dreamed. Dot, 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 dot. There's another drinking break here.
Tonight's after-dinner activity is a night hike, Uncle Marv announced. A cheer shook the wooden rafters of the huge mess hall.
Where are we gonna hike?
Someone called out. Uncle Marv grinned. Deep, deep into the woods.
Of course, that answer reminded everyone of Uncle Marv's ghost story. Some kids cheered. Others laughed. Alex and I exchanged glances. But the hike turned out to be fun. A full moon made the woods glow. We followed a path that curved around the lake. Everyone seemed in a good mood. We sang the camp song so many times I almost learned the words. About halfway around the lake, two deer stepped onto the path, a mother and her doe. The little one was so cute, it looked just like Bambi, which didn't fare well to her mom, right? because Bambi's mom got fucking capped right in the dome and turned into venison. The two deer stared at us. They turned up their noses as if to say, "What the fuck you doing in the woods, asshole?" Then they calmly loped into the trees. The path led... headed through a small, round clearing. As we stepped out of the trees, the ground appeared to light up. The moonlight poured down so brightly, I felt as if I could see every bush, every weed, every blade of grass, just like I was on acid. It was awesome! I started to relax. Sam, Joey, and I walked along singing, making up funny words to songs we knew. We sang, "On Top of Spaghetti," about 20 minutes, until kids begged us to stop singing it. They're like, I was going to say a bad Rucka Rucka Ollie, but come on. We all know Rucka Rucka Ollie is a bad Rucka Rucka Ollie. Why have I been so crazy? I asked myself. I've made some cool new friends here at Camp Spirit Moon. I'm having a sexcellent time. I felt great until we returned to camp. The black fog had started to roll in. It greeted us, wrapped its cold, wet mist around us, darkening the sky, the ground, and the whole goddamn camp.
Lights out in 10 minutes, Uncle Marv announced.
Kids scampered to their cabins, but two strong arms held me from behind, held me back. Yeah. People are always trying to hold old Dune back with his job and his having to pay for rent and bills and internet and like 15 streaming services and vet bills, and he doesn't have any money because of car insurance and health insurance. God damn it, everyone's trying to hold me back. Fucking white man can't catch a break in this country. Whatever. Hey, I cried out. I felt myself being pulled into the trees. Someone whispered in my ear. I spun around to find Lucy holding on to me. What are you doing? I whispered. We have to go to our bunks. We have to get ready for shh, she hissed again in my ear. Her dark eyes searched my face. Were those tears staining her pale cheeks? Clouds of fog rolled around us. She loosened her grip on my arms, but her eyes stayed on mine. Harry, you've got to help me, she whispered. I swallowed hard. Lucy, what's wrong? I think you know, she said softly. It's all true. What you think, it's true. I didn't understand. I stared back at her with my mouth open. We're ghosts, Harry, Lucy told me. We're all ghosts at this camp, just like the title of the book describes in two words. But Lucy, I started. Yes, she nodded sadly. Yes, yes, yes. I'm a ghost, too. Chapter 19! The trees disappeared behind the fog. The moonlight made Lucy's eyes sparkle like dark jewels, but the light faded from her eyes as the fog covered the moon. I didn't blink. I didn't move. I suddenly felt as wooden as the trees hiding behind the swirling fog, much like the Lord of the Rings movies and the Ents that were about to come out in like 6 years. You were joking, right? I stammered. This is one of those great Camp Spirit Moon jokes. But I knew the answer. I could read the answer in her dark eyes, in her trembling mouth, in her pale, pale skin. I'm a ghost, she repeated sadly. The stories, they're true, Harry. But I don't believe in ghosts. It says in italics, but not in quotes, so he was just thinking it. That's what I almost blurted out loud. But how could I not believe in ghosts when one stood right in front of me, staring into my face? How could I not believe in Lucy? I believe you, I whispered. She sighed. She turned her face away. How did it happen? I asked. Just as Uncle Marv told the story. Sorry, she replied. We were sitting around the campfire, all of us, just like the other night. The fog rolled in. Such a dark, heavy fog. She sighed again. Even in the darkness, I could see the tears glistening in her eyes. When the fog finally floated away, she continued, we were all dead. All ghosts. We've been out here ever since. I can't explain anymore. I don't know anymore. But when did it happen? I demanded. How long? How long have you been a ghost, Lucy? She shrugged. I don't know. I've lost track of time.
There is no time when you're a ghost. There's just one day and then the next and the next. Forever, I guess. I'm a girl, so I can't tell you what fucking year it was, which would totally clear up the how long have I been a ghost argument, because you're not a ghost, and you clearly know what year it is, but goddamn, I digress. I don't know. I stared at her without speaking. Chill after chill swept down my back. My whole body was shaking. I didn't even try to stop it. I reached out and grabbed her hand. I guess I wanted to see if she was real or not. One last test to see if she was pulling a joke. Oh! I dropped her hand as its icy cold shot through me. As its icy cold shot through me. That's what it says. So cold. Her hand as cold as the black fog. You believe me now? She asked softly. Sorry, she asked softly. Once again, her dark eyes studied my face. I nodded. I believe you. I stammered. I believe you, Lucy. She didn't reply. I could still feel the cold of her hand on my fingers. The blue puddles, I murmured. The sticky blue puddles on the cabin floor. Do you know what they are? Yes, she replied. Those puddles are drops of protoplasm.
Huh? Protoplasm?
She nodded. The puddles are made when we materialize, when we make ourselves visible. She twisted her face into a sorrowful frown. It takes so much strength to make ourselves visible, so much energy. The protoplasm puddles are made when we use that energy.
I didn't fucking understand her. Women, who could understand them?
But I knew when I stepped in them that the slimy blue puddles were something strange, something inhuman.
Wait, R.L. Stein, all puddles are inhuman. Even puddles of urine, which comes from a human, is inhuman. You can't... whatever.
Traces of ghosts. And the other things Alex and I saw?
I demanded. Kids floating above their beds, their eyes glowing like spotlights, kids stabbing themselves and not bleeding and not crying out in pain.
Some of the kids tried to scare you, Lucy confessed.
They only wanted a little fun, Harry. It isn't fun being a ghost.
Wait. If I know anything from my weird preteen fantasies of being able to kind of stop time and be invisible and go into other people's houses, being a ghost would be the shit!
Believe me, it isn't fun spending day after day after day out here, knowing you aren't real anymore, knowing you will never grow, knowing you will never change.
She uttered a loud sob from deep in her chest.
Knowing you will never have a life, just like some kind of asshole who records bootleg Goosebumps podcasts.
I'm so sorry, I stammered. Her expression changed. Her eyes narrowed. Her mouth twisted into an unpleasant sneer.
I took a step back, suddenly afraid.
Help me, Harry, Lucy whispered. I can't stand it anymore. You've got to help me get away from here.
Get away? I cried, taking another step back.
How? You've got to let me possess your mind, Lucy insisted. You've got to let me take over your body in a non-sexual manner.
Chapter number 20.
No! I gasped. Panic shot through my body. I felt every muscle tense. The blood throbbed at my temples. I need to take over your mind, Harry, Lucy repeated, stepping toward me. Please, please help me.
Fuck no, bitch, I uttered again.
I wanted to turn and run, but I couldn't move. My legs felt like jello. My whole body shook. I don't believe in ghosts. That thought flashed into my mind. But
it wasn't true anymore.
I stood at the edge of the woods, staring at Lucy. Staring at Lucy's ghosts. The fog swept around us. Again, I tried to run, but my legs wouldn't cooperate.
Wait. What do you want to do to me?
I finally choked out.
Butt stuff? Is that what you're talking about? Or do you... Wait, why do you want to take over my mind?
It's my only way to escape, Lucy replied. Her eyes locked on mine. My only way!
Why don't you just run away?
I demanded. She sighed.
If I try to leave the camp by myself, I'll disappear. If I try to leave the others, I'll fade away. I'll join the mist, be part of the fog.
I don't understand. I understammered. Nailed it. I took a step back. The fog seemed to tighten around me, cold and wet. Lucy stood 2 feet in front of me, but I could barely see her. She seemed to shimmer in and out with the fog.
I need help.
Her voice floated softly.
I had to struggle to hear her. The only way a ghost can escape is to take over the mind of a living person.
But that's impossible!
I screeched. What a dumb thing to say. I scolded myself. Seeing a fucking ghost is impossible. Everything happening to me is impossible. Puberty is impossible. But it's happening.
I need to possess the mind of a body and body of a living boy or girl, Lucy explained. I need to take over your body, Harry. I need you to take me away from here.
No! I screamed again. I can't! I mean...
My heart thudded so hard, I could barely speak.
I can't let you take over my mind, I finally managed to say. If you do that, I won't be me anymore.
I started to back away. I have to get to the cabin, I decided. I have to get Alex. We have to run away from this camp as fast as we can.
Don't be scared, Lucy pleaded. She followed me. The fog circled us, as if holding us inside. Don't be scared,
Lucy said. As soon as we are far away from here, I'll get out.
I'll leave your mind. I'll leave your body, I promise, Harry. As soon as we escape this camp, I'll go away. You'll be yourself again. You'll be perfectly okay.
I stopped backing up. My whole body trembled. The fog washed its cold mist over me.
Please, Harry, Lucy begged. Please, I promise you'll be okay, I promise.
I squinted at her through the rising mists.
Should I do it? Should I let Lucy take over my mind? Will she give it back? Can I believe her?
God, I wish this was an episode of Give Yourself Goosebumps, then I could let the listeners choose. By the way, I need to do that again soon on Iken Has Chat or Ustream and let you people decide. You guys into that? I don't know. Whatever. Maybe I'll just bring people over to my house to decide, because that's way quicker and easier. Or do it live at a small show. Who knows?
Chapter 21!
Lucy floated in front of me. Her dark eyes pleaded with me.
Please,
she whispered. No, I'm sorry. I can't. The words escaped my lips almost before I thought them. I can't, Lucy.
She shut her eyes. I could see the muscles in her jaw tighten as she gritted her teeth.
I'm sorry, I repeated, backing up. I'm sorry, too, she said coldly. Her eyes narrowed. Her lips formed into a sneer.
I'm really sorry, Harry, but you have no choice. You have to help me.
God, women. This is how they argue. You don't have a choice, you know. It's not compromise. It's just giving in.
But booze.
No, no way! I turned and tried to run, but something held me back. The fog. It tightened around me. The thick, wet mist. A choking mist. It drew around me, pushing me, holding me in place. I tried to scream for help, but the fog muffled my cry. Lucy vanished behind the black fog, and then I felt something cold on the top of my head. My hair tingled. I reached up with both hands and felt ice, as if frost had settled over my hair.
No! I screamed. Lucy, no!
The cold sank down. My scalp itched like some sort of Head and Shoulders commercial. My face froze. I rubbed my cheeks numb. Cold and numb. Lucy, please! I begged. I could feel her, so light, so cold, settling into my body. Sinking into my fucking brain. I could feel her. And I could feel myself slipping, slipping away. Slipping, slipping, as if drifting into deep sleep.
Ooh, weird sort of opiate buzz. The cold spreading over me, sweeping down my neck, down my chest. No! I uttered a long howl of protest. I shut my eyes tight. I knew I had to concentrate. I had to think hard. I had to keep awake. I couldn't let myself fade away. I couldn't let her take over. I couldn't let her shove my mind aside and take control of my body. I set my jaw hard. I kept my eyes shut and I tightened every muscle. No, I thought. No, you can't do this to me, Lucy. You can't take my mind. You can't take over. You can't because I won't let you. All that was in italics. That's why I read it so firmly. God, I'm good at this still. The cold settled over me. My skin tingled. I felt numb all over. And so sleepy. So sleepy. Waiting to hear back from my girlfriend so I can start to cook dinner because I'm just drinking heavily and I haven't eaten and it's already like 7:11 o'clock. And I'm going to cook some ahi that I got at Trader Joe's in either Brussels sprouts or salad, depending on what she wants. And then hopefully I'll be able to finish this after we eat. But maybe I'll finish it before. Who fucking knows? Okay, same night, I made some seared ahi with Brussels sprouts. My girlfriend got home from work after working a long day tattooing, and her back's all fucked up. And I think this is the first time I'm recording with her here, aside from the give yourself goosebumps. So if I make, like, dick jokes about little kids' peenies, you might hear, like, disapproving groans from the room next door. Drinking another tall can of Steel Reserve. Let's do this. Chapter number 22. No! I tossed back my head in another long howl. If I can keep screaming, I can keep awake, I told myself, and I can fight Lucy off. I can force her away. No! I wailed into the spinning, whirling fog. No! I yelled like the end of the third new Star Wars movie that was kind of better than the other ones but didn't make up for how shitty the other ones were. And I felt the cold start to lift. No! That one has two less O's than the previous. I squeezed my arms, rubbed my cheeks, and knew the feeling was returning. No! That one had the same amount as the previous. I suddenly felt lighter and totally alert. I did it, I realized. I fought her off. But how long did I have before she tried to take over again? I took a deep breath, then another. I'm breathing, I told myself. I'm me, and I'm breathing. A quick side note for the listeners. You are now manually breathing. Every breath you're taking, you now control, and you're also now aware that you are looking at your nose. It's right there in the middle of your face. Oh my God, you can't stop seeing it now. I felt stronger now. I lowered my head and darted into the fog. My sneakers pounded the ground. I made my way to the cabin. The lights were out. The other guys were in their bunks, possibly pounding off. I burst inside and let the screen door slam behind me. What up? Sam demanded. I didn't answer him. I ran across the room, grabbed my brother, shook him hard. Come on, hurry, I ordered. Huh? Alex squinted up at me sleepily. I didn't say another word. I tossed him his shorts and his sneakers. I heard the other guys stirring. Joey sat up in his bed. Harry, where were you? He asked. Lights out was 10 minutes ago, Sam said. You're going to get us all in trouble. Those are some pussy-ass ghosts. If I was a ghost, I'd be up to no good. Actually, I'd probably just be sitting at a bar, pretending to take shots, but I couldn't grab the shot glass and be like, why? Why am I a sad, sober ghost? luckily that Steel Reserve is real. As am I. That's why you can find me on patreon.com/dune, where you can donate to me, and I'll use it for things like goosebumps. I ignored them. Alex, hurry! I whispered. As soon as he had his sneakers tied, I grabbed his arm and tugged him out the door. Harry, what's wrong? He asked. Where are you two going? I heard Joey call.
I pulled Alex outside, the screen door slammed behind us.
Run! I cried. I'll explain later. We have to get out of here now!
But, Harry... I pulled Alex over the grass. The fog had parted enough to let a trail of moonlight slip through. We followed the trail into the woods. Our sneakers slipped over the wet grass. The only other sound was the chirp of crickets and the rush of wind rattling the pine trees. After a minute or two, Alex wanted to stop to catch his breath.
No, I insisted, keep moving. They'll follow us. They'll find us.
Where are we going? Alex demanded.
Deep, deep into the woods, I told him. As far away from the camp as we can.
But I can't keep running, Harry. I'm not some sort of Nigerian, Alex cried. My side hurts.
And they're all ghosts, asshole. I blurted out.
Alex, I know you won't believe me, but you've got to try. The kids, the counselor, freaking creepy Uncle Marv, they're all ghosts.
Alex's expression grew solemn.
I know, he replied in a tiny voice.
Huh? How do you know?
I demanded. We squeezed between two triangle tree trunks. Over the chirp of crickets, I could hear the lake washing over the shore just beyond some tall shrubs.
We're still too close to the camp, I told myself,
like some sort of pedophile who has to keep at least 2,000 feet away. I pulled my brother in the other direction, away from the lake. Pushing aside tall weeds and shrubs, we made our own path deeper into the woods.
Alex, how do you know?
I repeated.
Elvis told me,
he replied, wiping sweat off his forehead with his arm. We ducked under a tall thorn bush. The thorns scraped the top of my head. I ignored the pain and kept moving.
Elvis said the ghost story about the fog was true, Alex continued. I thought he was just trying to scare me, but he...
Alex's voice trailed off.
We ran into a small clearing. Moonlight made the grass glow like silver.
Like that Harry Potter thing where the unicorn's all stabbed and shit and fucking Voldemort's drinking the blood, but Voldemort's under the Arab dude's fucking beanie or whatever. That shit was gnarly.
My eyes flashed in one direction, then the other. I couldn't decide which way to run. I swatted a mosquito off my arm.
What did Elvis do? I asked Alex. Alex raked back his dark hair.
He tried to take over my mind, he told me in a trembling voice.
He floated into the fog, and then I started to feel really cold. Twigs snapped. Dry leaves crackled.
Footsteps?
I shoved Alex back into the trees, out of the clearing. We pressed against a wide tree trunk and listened. Silence now.
Maybe it was a squirrel? Or a chipmunk, or Sam Squanch, or something,
Alex whispered.
Maybe, I replied, listening hard.
Moonlight trickled through the treetops. It made shadows dance over the smooth clearing.
We have to keep going, I said. We're still too close to the camp.
If the ghosts follow us, I didn't finish my thought. I didn't want to think about what would happen if the ghosts followed us. If they caught us.
Stay reserved.
Which way is the highway? Alex asked, his eyes searching the trees.
It isn't too far from the camp, right? If we can get to the highway, someone will give us a ride.
Good idea, I said. Why hadn't I thought of that? Why was I unaware of hitchhiking?
Now here we were, in the middle of the woods, far from the highway. I didn't even know which direction to go to find it.
It must be back that way, Alex suggested, pointing.
No, that's the way back to the camp, I argued.
Alex started to reply, but a loud thumping sound made him stop.
Did you hear that shit? He whispered.
I did.
And then I heard it again. A loud thump, very close by.
Is it an animal?
I cried softly.
I don't think so, Alex stammered.
Ka-thump. Louder.
Is it a ghost? I wondered. Has one of them found us?
Quick, this way, I urged. I grabbed Alex by the wrist and tugged him hard.
We had to get away from whatever was making that frightening noise, ka-thump!
Louder.
We're going the wrong way!
I cried.
We spun around and darted back into the clearing. Ka-thump!
Which way?
Alex screeched.
Which way? It's everywhere!
And then, from somewhere just ahead of us, a deep, booming voice growled,
Why are you standing on my heart?
Okay, just confirm to the girlfriend she can hear every word I'm yelling in here, obviously as we're 10 feet away. And I opened and shut the door again, and now Naked Cat is in here, so I say hi, Yodi. Yeah, he's not going to say anything.
Chapter number 23.
The ground tumbled and shook. Alex and I both let out terrified cries, but our cries were drowned out by a rumbling sound that quickly rose to a roar.
Someone had diarrhea.
Just kidding. The ground gave way beneath us. We both raised our arms high as we toppled over. I landed on my hands and knees. Alex fell onto his back. The ground trembled and tossed, tumbling us around.
It's a monster!
Alex shrieked. But that's impossible, I thought, struggling to my feet. That monster is from a story. A dumb camp ghost story.
Oh my god, what if all Goosebumps stories are real? Oh my goodness. What if you guys are all just choosing the adventure of my life?
Actually, I feel like if you were choosing the adventure of my life, I would get these out quicker, because you'd be like, hey, put them out, instead of getting sad and drinking malt liquor in the bath.
It can't be here in the woods. I helped pull Alex up, but the ground shook again, and we both fell to our knees. Ka-thump! Ka-thump! It can't be real, I cried. It can't! My mouth dropped open in horror as a huge, hairy head raised itself in front of us. Its eyes glowed as red as flames. Round, terrifying, glowing eyes set deep in an ugly, growling face. The creature glared furiously at us and looked exactly like your mama! Oh!
The monster!
Alex stuttered. We were both on our knees, bouncing helplessly on the rolling, tossing ground. Was it the ground or the monster's chest? The creature opened an enormous cavern of a mouth. It flashed rows and rows of jagged yellow teeth. Slowly, it raised its head, moving closer, closer, opening its hairy jaws wide, preparing to swallow us as we frantically struggled to scramble away.
Harry! Harry!
Alex shrieked my name.
It's going to eat us! It's going to swallow us whole!
And then, in a flash, I had an idea.
The 24th chapter!
A huge monster uttered a low growl. Its hairy mouth opened wider. Dune was wondering if the mouth was actually hairy inside of it, which would make it much more horrifying, or just the mouth around it is hairy, like my mouth, or like some sort of weird gay bear dude. But if it's actually hair going out of it, it just seems terrible. Plus, they'd always be doing that hair in the throat sound, and that's scary in itself. An enormous purple tongue rolled out. I gasped when I saw that the tongue was covered in prickly burrs.
Ooh, Gucci Mane must have been there. Burr.
Look out, Alex,
I cried. Too late. The ground tossed, bouncing us both into the air. We landed with a hard plop on the tongue.
Ow!
We both howled. It felt like a cactus. Slowly, the prickly purple tongue began to slide, carrying us into the creature's open mouth.
We don't believe in monsters, I told Alex.
I had to shout over the bellowing of the hungry monster. The tongue carried us closer, closer to the rows of jagged yellow teeth.
We don't believe in this monster, I shouted. It's just made up, part of a story. If we don't believe in it, it can't exist.
Yeah, that's how vaccination works with parents. Where they're like, I'm not going to vaccinate my kid. Jenny McCarthy said, if I don't believe in it, it doesn't exist. Then 6 months later, mumps.
Water. Alex's whole body shook. He hunched over, making himself into a tight ball.
It looks pretty real, he choked out. The tongue dragged us closer. I could smell the monster's foul breath. I could see black stains on its jagged teeth. Concentrate, I instructed my brother. We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you. Alex and I began chanting those words over and over. We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you. The purple tongue carried us into the huge mouth. I tried to grab onto the teeth, but they were too slippery. My hand slid off. I felt myself being swallowed down, down into sour darkness. That's the name of the Black Cabbage Patch Kid. He's the chocolate-flavored one. We don't believe in you! We don't believe in you! Alex and I continued to chant. But our voices were muffled as we slid down into the creature's throbbing throat. Harry, it's swallowing us! Alex wailed. Keep chanting, I ordered him. If we don't believe in it, it can't exist. We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you! A glob of thick saliva rolled over me. I gagged as it clung to my clothes, my skin hot and sticky. The walls of the throat throbbed harder, pulling us down, down, down into the vast, churning, gurgling pit of a stomach below. Alex let out a long, defeated sigh. He sank to his knees. He was covered in thick saliva, too. Keep chanting. It's got to work. It's got to, I screamed. This is stolen in a reverse way from Peter Pan, where everyone in the audience has to say that they do believe in fairies to make Tinkerbell come to life, but he just reversed it because R.L. Stine doesn't like thinking of new plots. We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you, Tinkerbell. We don't believe in you. Alex and I both opened our mouths in screams of horror as we began to fall. Falling, falling into the churning stomach below. Chapter number 25. I shut my eyes and waited for the splash, waited for the crash, waited to hit the stomach floor, waited. When I opened my eyes, I was standing on the ground, standing next to Alex in a grassy clearing. The pine trees shivered in the breeze. A full moon poked out from behind wispy clouds. Hey, I cried. I was so happy to hear my own voice. You're telling me. It's great. Hi, Dune. Hey, how's it going? Just reading Goosebumps. Your voice sounds great. No, yours does. Salve it. I love you. So happy to see the sky, the ground, so happy to breathe the cool air. Alex started spinning, spinning like a top, laughing at the top of his lungs. We didn't believe in you, he cried gleefully. We didn't believe in you, and it worked. We were both so thrilled, so excited that the monster had vanished. Poof, a puff of imagination. I started to spin with Alex, spinning and laughing. We stopped when we realized we were no longer alone. I let out a startled cry when I saw the faces all around us. The pale, pale faces with their glowing eyes. I recognized Sam and Joe and Lucy and Elvis. I moved close to Alex as the campers, the ghost campers, moved to form a circle around us. Well, since there's only four of them, it's probably a square, you know what I'm saying? To trap us, Uncle Marv moved into the circle. His tiny eyes glowed red as fire. He narrowed them angrily at Alex and me. Capture them, he bellowed. Take them back to camp. No one ever escapes Camp Spirit Moon. Several, stupid fucking words and their confusing ass letters. Several counselors moved quickly to grab us. We couldn't move. There was nowhere to run. What are you gonna do to us? I cried. Stupid cats meowing outside the door. Can you hear that? Chapter number 26.
We need living kids, Uncle Marv boomed. We cannot allow living kids to escape unless they carry one of us with them.
No!
Alex wailed.
You can't take over my mind! You can't! I won't let you!
The ghostly circle tightened. The ghost campers moved in on us. I tried to stop my legs from shaking, tried to slow my pounding heart. Alex, we don't believe in them either, I whispered. He stared at me, all confused and shit for a second. Then it totally clicked in his little stupid Riri brain. We made the monster vanish by not believing in him. We could do the same thing to the ghost campers.
Grab them. Take them back to camp, Uncle Marv ordered the counselors.
We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you.
Alex and I started to chant, we don't believe in you. We don't believe in you. Yada, yada, yada. I stared hard at the circle of ghostly faces, waited for them to disappear. I chanted with my brother, chanted faster, chanted louder. We don't believe in you. We don't believe in you.
That's how they chanted at this point, because they too were trying to finish this up so they could watch The Simpsons in bed with their girlfriend. But then I gotta edit it and stuff. I'll probably upload it in the morning while at work. You know, might as well get paid to do this properly.
I shut my eyes. I shut them tight. And when I opened them, the ghosts were still there.
You can't make us disappear, Harry, Lucy said, stepping into the circle.
She narrowed her eyes at me. They glittered cold and silvery in the moonlight. You made the monster disappear because it wasn't real. Just one of our ghost tricks, Lucy explained. We made you see it, but we're all real, all of us, and we're not going to vanish in a puff of smoke.
We're not going away, Elvis added, burping,
moving close to my brother. In fact, we're coming closer, a lot closer, wink, doing it, banging.
I'm taking over your mind,
Lucy whispered to me. I'm going to escape Camp Spirit Moon inside your mind and body.
No, no, please,
I protested. What a polite motherfucker. I would not add please there. I'd be like, no, bitch. I probably wouldn't. I don't know why I'd all of a sudden turn into like a 90s black guy there. For some reason, when I get approached by a ghost, I magically turn into Chris Tucker. Hey, Gio, you writing that down? That's our new movie. Where I'm just a normal guy, and then there's ghosts that no one can see, and they walk around all day. And then when one passes me on the street, I turn from me as a big white dude into a little black dude of Chris Tucker. And I'm like, sir, I have a job interview. And then a ghost comes, but I don't know. And I'm like, ah, man, fuck working for Whitey. It'll be hilarious. No? No, Gio? We can't do that movie? All right.
I tried to back up, but the other ghost campers had me trapped.
You can't! I won't let you!
I shrieked to Lucy, frozen in terror.
Go away!
Alex shouted at Elvis.
The woods darkened as clouds swept over the moon all around me. The ghostly eyes appeared to glow brighter. I saw Elvis reach for my brother, and then my view was blocked by Lucy. She floated up, off the ground, up over me.
No, stay away! Stay away!
I screamed. By the way, I just did a weird hand move, like I was both fanning a fart away from me and swatting at flies at once. That was completely unnecessary, but excellent acting.
But I felt my hair tingle. I felt the cold sweep down over me, down, down. I felt Lucy's ghostly cold, felt her slipping into my mind, slipping down, down, taking over, and I knew I couldn't escape.
Chapter 27.
Get away, Lucy! I'm going first! I heard a voice shout.
No way!
A boy cried. Move out of the way. Uncle Marv said I could be first. I could feel the cold sweep up from my body. I opened my eyes and saw Lucy back on the ground. Other kids tugged her away.
Let go of me!
Lucy screamed, pulling back. I saw him first!
Finders keepers!
Another ghostly girl cried. They are fighting over me, I realized. I was thrown off because I would have used a contraction there. They pulled Lucy away, and now they're fighting to see who will take over my mind.
Well, now you can use a contraction. It makes sense.
Hey, let go!
I heard a ghostly girl cry. I saw her wrestling with another girl.
Wait, I gotta Google. Girl on girl ghost wrestling.
No, I must finish this. The ghosts were wrestling and fighting, shoving and clawing at each other. I saw the counselors join in the fight.
Stop this! Stop this! Uncle Marv bellowed.
He tried to pull the fighting campers apart.
But it's a bitch fight. You can't pull that apart until someone's weave's getting ripped out.
But they ignored him and continued to battle. And as I stared in horror, they began to spin around me, faster and faster. A ghostly circle of wrestling, fighting, and shrieking campers. Boys and girls, counselors, and Uncle Marv. Spinning and struggling and clawing. Faster. Faster. They spun around and around my brother and me until they became a swirl of white light. And then the light faded to gray smoke, wisps of smoke that floated to the trees and disappeared in the trembling branches. Alex and I stood watching until the last wisp of smoke had floated away.
They're gone, I choked out. They fought each other and they're gone. All of them.
Did they learn nothing from the Civil War? When we fight each other, we're not strong. But then when we fight the Germans, we kick their fucking asses. I shook my head. I drew in a deep breath of fresh air. My heart was still pounding, my whole body trembled, but I was okay. Alex and I were okay.
Are they really gone?
Alex asked in a tiny voice.
Yes, let's go, I said, taking his arm.
Come on, hurry. Let's get away from here. He followed me eagerly.
Where are we going?
To the highway, I said. We'll walk past the camp to the highway, and we'll stop the first car that comes by. We'll get to a phone. We'll call Mom and Dad. God, I wish someone invented some sort of mobile version of a phone.
I slapped my brother on the back.
We'll be okay, Alex, I cried happily. We'll be home before you know it. We walked quickly through the woods, pushing bushes and weeds out of the way, making our own path. As we made our way to the highway, Alex started to hum a song to himself.
Whoa, I cried.
Alex, what's wrong?
Huh?
He stared at me in surprise. I stopped and held him in place.
Sing that again, I ordered.
He sang a little more.
Horrible.
His singing was horrible, totally off-key and sour. I stared hard into my brother's eyes.
Elvis? Is that you in there? I cried.
Elvis's voice came out of Alex's mouth.
Please, Harry, don't tell, he begged. I swear, I'll never sing again if you promise not to tell.
The end.
Am I becoming more jaded? And, Goosebumps just doesn't hit it anymore, because when I started these, I think I was 22. And, that's like a decade removed from Goosebumps, right? But now I'm 27, I'm gonna be 28 in a couple days. Like, was it just like a decade ago I was 18 and way too old for this anyway, or no? But, alright, so... Yeah, there goes their whole family. Ha ha, his brother doesn't exist anymore. That's some good stuff. And that whole subplot with the monster coming, I don't know. I don't know about any of this one, listeners. Anyway, I'll keep them up. Let me know which book you want to hear next. You can contact me at Dune on Twitter, or email me at Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps, or Facebook message me at Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. Until then, you know what you assholes gotta do?
You know what you have to do.
Stay spooky, bitches.